Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. How is you and buddy? Buddy, say something, say something, say something. That was a little whack, don't you think?
I don't know, you should have said something, so I just said something.
Are you getting a little irritated with me?
No.
Oh, well, all right. Love you.
Love you, too.
Love you, 3.
Love your 4, 5, 6.
Love your 79.
Love your 20.
Love your 45.
Love your 100.
Love your 150 and beyond.
Love you to the moon and down again. Around the world and back again.
I think the lyrics is a little bit different, but see, when I love you, girl, you got the whole world in your hands, and I like the whole world. All right, welcome to another episode of the Broke Black Bougie podcast. We are now in July, which is a pretty cool month, if you ask me, for a pretty cookie. But besides that, it has really become hot as hell and uncomfortable. And although I do have AC, it has been pretty miserable out here on these streets, Toya. How has it been for you?
I said, you think so? yes, it's been hot, but listen, I'm enjoying it because you know how our winters get. We have like 10 months of winter and 2 months of summer, so let's enjoy it.
Well, it's quite interesting because like, up until I left Rochester, I didn't realize that Rochester is one of the most snowiest places in the country. So up until like growing up there, I would just be like, oh, we just live in a place that's really cold and wintry, and it's like really cold and it snows a lot because we're right by Lake Ontario. Like I thought that that was normal until I moved more inward into the state. And I was like, wow, anything's better than Rochester's winter. Like, sure, we have storms, but, like, I feel like Rochester has a storm Wednesday through Sunday, you know?
I think you're right. But, yeah. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I guess we should be more positive, more optimistic instead of pessimistic. But, yeah, and, you know, it's quite odd because now that summer stuff is here, I think people are anticipating that the world is going back 100% to normal. And a few weeks back, actually, Governor Cuomo marked the end of the COVID-19 emergency. And I'm like, nigga, the Delta variant is right around the corner. I don't know what we marking. It still seemed like an emergency to me. I'm still wearing my mask, vaccinated or not. I mean, I don't know what we... we living in a new world here, and y'all just is sailing along, and I don't think it's that easy to do. I don't think it's that easy to just sail along.
I think people want to get back to what they consider to be normal, and so many people have been cooped up in the house that now, quote unquote, they feel free to do what they want, when they want, when they please. Now everybody's just going balls to the wall, but you have to be cautious. Like you said, the Delta variant is it's here at this moment, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But you have to be cautious. I mean, and just really play it. Like just take it day by day. Like you said, just because I've been vaccinated does not mean I'm not wearing a mask. I'm still going to wear my mask, but I feel comfortable enough to not have my mask on. But it just feels awkward now when I do see people not having their mask on. It's like, okay, they did vaccinate, or maybe they haven't, whatever. They're
going to
do what they
want to
do. So,
yeah, I had this conversation with my Uber driver recently. And, you know I talked a lot about cutting back with Uber, and I've actually done really exceptionally well. And now I'm only utilizing it like when it is too oppressive to walk outside because of the heat. Mm-hmm. But I put my mask on, and he hurried up and put his mask on too. You know, I was just explaining to him, we had a little conversation that, like, I'm vaccinated, but I still can't trust that other people around me are, because even those who are anti-vaxxers and did not get vaccinated, or anti-vaxxers is a movement. I don't want to specifically come for like a group, other people within that movement who made the conscious decision due to like medical racism and things of that nature. But like just being very intentional about, you know, me wearing my mask, I explained to him that like I have it on to protect myself and also other people around me. But when there is no one around me, I'm walking just fine. Like just the other day I went for a walk, and there was a lady coming up on the same street as me, and she also had her mask on, but it was down. And when we saw each other, we put our mask up until we passed each other and then put the mask back down again. And I'm just like, that's the type of courtesy that I feel like I'm going to be having throughout this pandemic, because there's going to be like, we're dealing with the Delta variant. God only knows if there are other variants that we have to deal with, you know, like it's not over.
You know, I think this is something that's going to be here for quite some time. And yes, it's going to be a normal routine of us getting quote unquote vaccinated for it, like the flu. Because it's variant of the flu, if you think about it. I mean, we get vaccinated for the flu, but like, to be quite honest, the flu vaccine only protects maybe 55 to 60% of, whatever is out there, whatever strain is out there, you know? So I don't know.
No, yeah. And to be fair, like there are many different versions of the coronavirus, you know, like coronaviruses have been around for a while, but, you know, the COVID-19 virus was just something that I don't think the world could have even prepared for. And us rushing back into normalcy, it really doesn't make sense, because we're kind of erasing everything that we said was originally wrong with like our world beforehand as a result of this pandemic. And you know how you come out of something and it's just like you forgot like how humble you were when you were in it, or the different things that you said you want to work on. Now that we're on the other side, y'all are like, oh, everybody come back to work. And yeah, we have all of the events going up, and you know, we're not really recycling air anymore, even though we are. It's just, it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. But like I said, people want to get back to some normalcy, what they were used to before just COVID hit. And like you said, there were other variants of COVID. You know, you had MERS, you had SARS, those are different type of COVIDs. And now we have this strain of COVID. So it's just a very, very interesting thing. But people just want to get back to their normal routine. And I think that's why we see everything the way that it is as of right now, because so many people are so excited to do what they want to do without being restricted. So
yeah, concerts and turn-ups and all of that. I went to my first function post-COVID, and it was very weird. Like, people didn't know whether to put their mask on, to take their mask off. It was good tunes, good vibes, but it was weird, you know?
I'm laughing. As soon as you said people
didn't want
to put
masks on, I thought
it, fuck it, mask off.
Yeah. No. It was really like that. To a whole nother domain. Hey, I'm a living proof. Yeah, girl, don't make me start spilling this, these lyrics out. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So now that we're here, we had a really great discussion, and this is probably about like two or three days ago. And I feel like we've been chopping it up a lot about like the workforce and the impact of the workforce and how like things have changed. But really this needs to be centered, because there's this mood or movement rather called the Great Resignation. And it's talking about how resignation rates are increasing, and there are like high turnovers happening for summer of 2021. And while there are labor and workplace experts who are chopping it up and talking about what that necessarily means, there's been some new data analyzing where these resignations are coming from, why people are resigning for the job, and what the pandemic has taught them. So before we head into the politicking segment, I just want to get a feel for what you think, sis. And I know because you resigned. You resigned before. So you resigned in basically in at the end of 2020. Right. Yes, I did. So what do you think it's all about? And who do you think are the, like, the age group of people who are resigning from their positions?
That's a tough one. A wild guess, I would say individuals from 25 to maybe 35 that are resigning from their current positions. I know for my reason of why I resigned from my position is because my body became tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, you know, being a frontliner, you know, of course, going into work every single day, not knowing what we're up against, you know, you're getting one thing told by administrators and then you hear on the news something totally different.
Right.
So, you know, things being discussed that they didn't have all the facts about. But not only that, the environment itself was very toxic for me. For a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to a point where I was literally getting up hating going to work.
Right.
Try to prepare myself mentally to be in the right headspace. But as soon as I hit the garage, I'm already in a funk. I'm already in the attitude, I'm being quite honest, of don't fucking talk to me.
Right.
That's where I was at. And I knew with everything that was taking place, you know, a lot of my coworkers were out, you know, either if they came in contact with someone and they had to quarantine them for a few days, or they contracted it themselves, or they were out on different surgical procedures, you know, a lot of things fell on my back and I had to hold down a unit. Me and another individual who I work with, who I respect wholeheartedly, but it took a toll on us. And we started to mentally feel like, yo, this job will give a fuck about us. And yet, we would literally have discussions coming in early, starting our shift, and we would literally say, you know what, I'm tired. I'm like, you know, and not for nothing, when you have somebody that's supposed to be in leadership, that's supposed to be leading this unit, these individuals that's working underneath you, we're supposed to be supported. And I felt that we were not supported when it came down to situations. Even before this whole COVID stuff, there were some things that I felt we were not supported about. And sure enough, fast forward a few years after the fact, 2020, December of 2020, I was like, I'm done. I can't take it anymore. I can't give you all of me when I feel like my existence, my being here is not enough. And you do not value me as an employee in this establishment. So I left.
So like you said something that was really important, right? Which was you and your coworkers recognized that this just really wasn't a safe space to work. You were clearly being exploited. And in so much words, you explained how, like, you processed recognizing the flaws of the job before the pandemic hit, recognizing how those flaws were exacerbated when the pandemic hit, and then just recognizing it was your time to just walk away. And I definitely don't blame you. And I feel like a lot of people who are working in positions that, you know, they've either been around for a long time or they're just ready to change some shit. Like, this pandemic has really revealed to us how we want to live our life and live our life on our terms, and how, like, this shit is just, it's not doing it anymore. And so as we get into this politicking segment, the first thing that I want to touch upon is a article that was published in Forbes on June 11th, 2021, talking about the Great Resignation, migration, and what this means for your career. We're going to tap into it, overview it a little bit, and then talk about, seriously, why people are walking away and why, I know for us both, we support that, right? People walking away and doing things for themselves because these jobs are just, the workforce needs reform. And the way that a lot of these jobs are structuring themselves, not all jobs are created the same, of course. And not to generalize, but the culture is extremely toxic, and there needs to be some, there needs to be a shift, or people are going to continue to walk away from jobs or really focus on trying to find remote positions or something that creates a balance for what it is that they desire to do. So let's get into it. This article, Politicking With Y'all All Today, was published by Forbes, but the contributor is Brian Robertson, Dr. Brian Robertson, who's a contributor that focuses on careers. He revealed data from the workforce analytics company Visier, which confirms an impending Great Resignation is real and is happening sooner than originally thought. The recent analysis of anonymized and standardized workforce data of over 9 million employee records from more than 4,000 companies identified a significant spike in people resigning from their job positions from July to September. And even during the pandemic, the trend data for 2021 shows that resignation rates have already begun to climb, signaling an even more pronounced increase this year than previous years, especially in the fields of tech and healthcare. The data has revealed that resignations are rising most frequently among mid-career workers. So Toya, when I asked what level or what age group did you think, you said 25 to 30, right?
To 35.
Yeah, you're definitely on the nose with that. So despite the pandemic, all age groups experienced an increase in resignations between between August 2019 and August 2020, except for those ages 25 who saw a 20.3% decrease. And employees ages 20 to 25, saw a 20.3% decrease. And employees ages 30 to 35 saw a large increase in resignations, with 21.5% of individuals resigning. For 35 to 40 year olds, 19.6%. Of individuals resigning, and shockingly, 40 to 45, these individuals saw a 25.1% increase in resignations, signaling that workers more established in their career have continued to shift jobs. I love when they give this type of data, but I always ask myself, what is the socioeconomic status? What is the racial and ethnicity demographic information that you have behind who you are presenting this data on? Because if we break that down, we would see probably different sets of like increase numbers for those who are resigning. And I know specifically for people within our age group, niggas been leaving their jobs. So I think 20 to 25 would be a little bit more increase there, or you know, these are also individuals who are just starting out. The data revealed from this article also identified that managerial resignation rates have increased during the pandemic, not surprise, and healthcare and high-tech industries are seeing the most resignations. Resignations in the tech field have increased 4.5% between March 2020 and March 2021, while the healthcare industry saw resignation rates rise by 3.61% in the same time frame. There's a significant cause for the concern that healthcare workers facing increased job stress and burnout are at a high risk of job turnover this summer. So I read this, and I also watched a video as I go back to YouTube by CBS News that reported labor experts say post-pandemic resignations boom might be looming. This was 2 weeks ago, and they were talking about one of the reasons why this boom in resignations exists is because people really want a hybrid workforce. They recognize that they can do work from home. For most people who are in jobs that don't require you to be physically present. And a lot of these organizations are just trying to come back like everything is normal, and there really is not a work-to-life balance. A work-to-life balance. I said that correctly. So as I read these things, what are you thinking? Because I feel like some people are exaggerating the Great Resignation. I feel like some people are on point. I feel like in the summer months, you're going to see more people who actually are turning away from certain positions. Like, you know, what is it that you are thinking, rather?
I agree with people feeling like there should be some, it's the workforce should be hybrid. If it came down to the point where people who were quote unquote in positions where they did not have necessarily be physically within the office setting, and they were able to operate outside of the office setting, why not keep that position outside the office? Why have me in there now? There's a lot of people that are still antsy. There are a lot of people who are nervous about everything with the pandemic. And so you think about mothers who were able to have their kids home with them while they were at work, you know, being physically there, working still. You know, you think about daycare. You think about all that stuff. You think about schooling. All that stuff plays a huge factor with now trying to transition back to what people consider in the workforce normal. What is normal? We've been able to operate in the capacity of safety that now you want me to be uncomfortable to come back to work.
And now that I know that I can work from home now, now that I know that I can do my job from home, even though you guys try to act like you working from home is actually you slacking or such a privilege, and which it is, right? But I'm just saying it from the lens of somebody who is in leadership and doesn't believe in people working from home. I have such a troubling understanding, or, you know, concept rather, of how you can allow people to work from home during an emergency, and then when the emergency is over, act like these people weren't working from home for damn near going on 2 years now. And so now you're trying to just move them back into the office. Like, nope, we're doing things regularly again, and you should be here, so you have to be here. Like, that makes absolutely no sense. I think as we start to look at the way that workforces or different organizations, excuse me, rather, are transitioning people back into, come back into the office, there should automatically be remote options and hybrid options, so that people can still be able to do their work, but also recognizing that life has changed. And so it's okay now for people to work permanently from home, because you've already proven that they can. You bringing them back in really seems like a game of control, or a situation of, oh, I'm worried about professionalism. And it's like, now is professionalism an excuse when we were able to be professional from home? It just really doesn't make sense to me.
No. And I kind of feel like, you know, to me, it's all BS. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you really want to keep it 100, if you were a Fortune 500 company and you had your employees working from home, pretty much for certain you would save them money on the building on the office building that you were renting out to occupy these employees there. So now that they're home and they're doing what they need to do, why bother to bring them in? The same way, like you said, when you were working from home, I was happy that you were working from home, to be honest with you. You know, you had a position where you were able to work from home. You were reporting every single day. You were getting your assignments and everything done. There was nothing lacking in you making sure that your work was done. So if it is now an issue of you wanting me to come back in the office, for what reason? We saw during this pandemic, a lot of things that said they were not possible were possible.
Right.
A lot of things that they said that we couldn't do, we did. We made a way of doing it. We somehow through trial and error, we did it, and we succeeded in certain aspects. So now all of a sudden you want to put us in a position of like I said, we're not, a lot of us are not comfortable going back into the workforce, into the work, to the work, quote unquote, building.
You know what? And you said something that's really, really important. Like it was okay once we were going through the pandemic, and now you guys are acting like everything is normal. What this has really shown me, like with the pandemic and everything, is that it's okay to reform in an emergency, but people are not willing to reform and create change on their own because they're too scared of change. And if anything, the pandemic has taught us that we have to be able to change and readapt, change our business plan, change the way we're dealing with our infrastructure, change the way we are operating as a society in order for people to live comfortable. And I feel like the workforce has already predetermined and created in a space where we work from 9 to 5, where we only have Saturdays and Sundays off, where many of us are working year round for a job, or our lives surround our job and not being able to have the wiggle room and breathing room to be able to live. And now that people have recognized, and sadly through, you know, the thousands of lives that have been lost, that my God, we deserve to live. My God, a pandemic has made me realize what I value in life, that life is too short. I don't want my life to surround working a job 24/7. And I want to be able to do other things, or hell, just pivot my career or tap into a career that I'm interested in, but I never got the opportunity to do because I want to do it. Why wait? We're not going to be here forever. Like, it's just like there is no sense of creating a type of reform that works for workers, so that the same grace that we gave to people in the damn pandemic, we should still be able to do that as we ride this shit the fuck out. We should still be able to give people that grace because it shows we're evolving. And sadly, those who are in leadership roles, those who have higher level positions, some of these people are not willing to evolve. And so guess what's going to happen? People are going to go through a door.
You know, you made me think about something while you were speaking that I remember experiencing at the hospital. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I was happy that you were able to work from home. I was kind of, I'm not gonna lie. I was kind of envious of people who were literally working from home. I'm like, in the comforts of y'all own home, y'all can get up when y'all want to make sure that, you know, you get yourself in order to get on this computer to do your job. I knew for me personally, we were given all the staff at the hospital, not to this hospital, but all the staff at the hospital were given COVID days, 7 COVID days, right? Now, these were free days that were not a part of our PTO or vacation, okay? So that was extra time that was given to us during the pandemic. Now, mind you, they were only trying to have us utilize those days if we, for one, had a relative that came down with COVID and we had to take care of them. Us ourselves came down with COVID. Or just being involved with the treatment of a child or whatever have you that had COVID. Mm-hmm. So my thought process with that came, I said, okay. I said, so these are free 7 days that I can get paid for if I can take those. It got to the point where in the middle of course, the middle of the year when we got these days, I said, listen, I said, it's ironic how these are things that are in our banks that we can utilize, but only if someone around us has COVID. I said, why can't we not use these days as vacation days? I don't understand, as an establishment, you know how strenuous this is for us. I literally voiced this opinion to my charge nurse along with my manager. I said, it is stressful. You guys are not on these units dealing with what we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. Don't know what we're up against. It becomes frustrating for us to be up here and knowing that if we have these free, quote-unquote, vacation days to utilize, damn if we have somebody that has COVID. Can we just use this day as a recuperation day, as a mental health day, something? This is getting out of hand. I literally had to voice that. I had to voice that to my manager along with my chargers to say, look, y'all got to speak with the CEO or something because this is just getting out of hand. I don't understand how you guys expect us to keep coming in here, having a level head, and yet we are already walking on pins and needles because we don't know what the fuck we're up against.
Right.
And they were really trying to hold on to us, not utilizing those days as quote-unquote PTO days. They were only trying to give us, they were trying to go into our actual bank to do PTO or vacation. I'm like, no, we got 7 COVID days. Let us utilize that. If they don't need us, if we are being called in and necessarily we don't have to be here, let's just do that. Let's use this day as a substitution. But the crazy thing about it, how they were fucking people over. If you came in and you worked a half a shift and they said, hey, you want to go home and use a COVID day, they wouldn't cut that time in half. They would literally use that one COVID day for that whole entire day, even if you worked a half a shift. Now, isn't that fucked up?
Yeah, that's actually illegal because if you worked for a half a day, your time that you're using should only be the time in the bank that, let's say, you work a 7-hour shift, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you worked for only let's say your typical day is a 7-hour shift and you only work 3.5 hours. When you go into your bank, typically when you're using time, your accrued time, if you only work 3.5 days, the only time that you need to use is 3.5 days to total the 7 hours that you didn't work. To use a whole day's worth, that's 3.5 hours that could be utilized, or 4 hours that could be utilized for other times. So basically,
exactly.
you're forcing your employees to waste their time simply because you don't want to give them time to rest and be able to combat this virus as people who are on the front lines. That's fucking sick.
And that's why a lot of people were literally walking off the job like, I'm not doing this. Because obviously my health and my mental capacity is not worth your benefit at this moment. I'm more of a liability than an asset. So I'm walking off. People did that.
But also, it's exploiting people.
Yeah.
You know, it's exploitation. And people are doing this because they know that people need jobs and that you're going to do whatever I say. And it's just, no, like, people deserve to walk away. And the sad thing is, there are mostly Black and brown people who are on the front lines who have to deal with this shit and don't know where to turn.
Yes.
Like, it's sad. And I remember, I think, like, for me, my story was, yeah, we were able to take time off and work from home, but it couldn't have come sooner. Like, I was watching and doing reports on what businesses, what phases people were in on shutting down while I was waiting for my fucking office to pack up and us to work from home. Like, before we even got to that point, it was a whole shit show of being in the office every day and just watching COVID rates rise and getting orders that these people were shutting down and these people were shutting down and you need to report on this, that, and the third. But also being like, damn, like, we matter and we need to get the fuck out of here too.
Right.
It was like March 18th or something when we got the goal to actually work from home. And we returned back early in June when other people still haven't returned back from work since March 2020. You know, so for me, it didn't make any sense. I just felt like they were playing this game of like, you guys are public servants and you're working for, you know, the constituents of New York State, but also like, that don't mean you deserve to work from home. It was just this weird dynamic of what it means to be a government employee, serve the community, but also protect yourself. And I felt like in many ways we were also being exploited because we kept returning back to the office and we were forced to travel in the pandemic during this COVID-19 outbreak and got exposed to COVID during election season, right? Doing visibility work, doing poll watching work and counting ballots and being a poll volunteer or a ballot counter volunteer. And it was just, I could really write a book on the emotions that I felt, because that there and then was when I determined that I really wanted to transition out of this job position, because I felt so exploited by those events, you know?
That's how I felt. And like you said, you the emotion, the emotional roller coaster that I've experienced with my prior employer, I felt at that moment that our lives did not matter at that time. It was more so just having the body to make sure that we were there to take care of these patients, and not realizing that, you know, your staff that's here, we are going through something mentally also, mm-hmm. along with our patients. And yet, where's the common decency to treat us as human beings rather than a number to be here to take up the time and space for a shift? It crippled me. It really did. I shut down. What can you do? Mm-hmm. Like you said, when a lot of us are black and brown in these positions, how do you maneuver? And yeah, they know that you necessarily can't say that, well, I'm leaving and not have a backup plan, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I remember they walking off the shift because I said, I'm coming here. Our unit was closed, but yet they were shipping us to other departments. And they expected me to wait for another. I didn't have nothing for me to do at that moment. I came in that morning, I clocked in, and I said, look, I'm not going to wait here and wait for a shift. I'm not going to do it. I'll take that L. I'll go home. And that's what I ended up doing.
It's just, it really hurts, because it shows that, like, these people don't know how to be leaders. And on top of that, they don't really care. You know, like, I've heard all the time about, like, the 9-to-5 complex and how, you know, you're working for other people's dreams and this, that, and the third. But, like, even though fucking LLC Twitter gets on my goddamn nerves, I felt like many of the messages that have been uplifted throughout the years about, like, employers and being exploited and operating within these exploitive ass workplaces, it became so much more apparent during the pandemic as to why I don't want to live the rest of my life working for these types of organizations. Because what they showed is that they weren't prioritizing people. They were exploiting people. They saw people as just a fucking employee, not a human. And they didn't take into consideration the mental health impacts that this pandemic has placed on us, that how we have lost loved ones, you know, and how it's forever shaped the way we think about our livelihood. Like, you have to be a cold fucking soul to move in that way. And it hurt, because even though I knew that I could be from home, I also knew that you were out working, and other of our relatives who were also essential workers were out on the front lines. And I'm just like, wow, we're like, you're definitely living in a house where there is two people who are definitely at risk.
Yeah. That's what scared living daylights out of me the most, is knowing that I could possibly bring something home back to a relative of mine because mm-hmm. of my position.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, looking back, you know, it's just so unhealthy. Like you said, you know, some of the things we recognized even before the pandemic, but yeah, it became it was exacerbated to 1,000 times max of what we were dealing with, and it became a point where I said, you know what, I need to make the best decision for myself at this moment, because I know what I'm dealing with is not helping me with my mental health along with my physical health. I became burned out.
Mm. COVID-19 burnout was real. Working from home burnout was real. You know, I made a post on the Broke Black Bougie podcast about 4 months into the pandemic. And it said, working from home doesn't mean working 24 hours, right? And although I was calling it out for other people, it was like I couldn't even call it out for myself because I was being exploited just like everybody else, you know? And it really hurt because it is a blessing to work from home. But y'all got people working all types of hours. It just didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense for me. And, you know, to this day, I'm grateful that I was able to have that as a lesson. But, child, you don't got to go through trauma in order to experience joy. That's all I'm saying. And if these workplaces really want to get to a point where they're creating stability for other people, they need to fucking recognize that you don't have to fucking traumatize your employees in order for them to be experiencing joy. They should experience joy because they exist.
Yes. There needs to be some discussion amongst these organizations when it comes to their employees and how to make sure that their safety is priority. I mean, there needs to be some discussion of how to maneuver, especially after this pandemic. If we haven't learned anything about how we were able to make do with people working from home, or, you know, remotely or doing hybrid process, there needs to be some discussion, some serious discussion.
Agreed. So as we wrap up today's episode and looking at those who are a part of the Great Resignation, or people who are anticipating quitting their jobs, or people who have already, you know, resigned from their positions, what advice can we give to those who are in this space right now? Toya, what do you have for the community?
Weigh your pros and cons. Just don't jump the gun and just do it just because you got to have a backup plan. But really focus on what brings you joy. And if you know the atmosphere that which you are working in is causing you more harm than good, begin to set up a plan. You know, whether it be making sure that you end up doing interviews, whatever the case may be, you know, to make sure that you have an exit strategy.
I like that a lot, because, you know, I think sometimes so many of us are like, I'm willing to go out on a limb. I'm willing to just figure it out. I don't care what comes next. Like, at the end of the day, all I care about is being able to get the fuck up out of here. You know, I feel like a lot of us, we get into that space, but it's important to have that exit plan, right? There are some people who are successful. They're extremely successful with being able to just quit a job, and they saved up their money. They did what they needed to do, but everyone's experience is not going to be that experience, right? And so it becomes very important for those who are anticipating figuring out next steps and what they're supposed to do, you know, with this job position, to just think about where you see yourself, right? What that plan looks like.
Right.
And perhaps, I guess, my biggest piece of advice ties into this, which is examine when you leave that job, what is that job going to give you? What is that biggest takeaway you have? Some of us have vacation time that we're going to be getting paid out from, okay? That's going to help us elevate our financial cushion. Some of us are going to be able to take transferable skills that we're going to have for a lifetime into another job position. Those are things that are valuable. Some of us may leave and may only have connections. And those things are valuable too. I'm sorry, bud. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying, and that's okay too, because hell, you can have a connection and say, yo, I got somebody that knows somebody in this company that's looking for a hiree. You think you can do it? Go out for the interview? Bet. You know?
Period. Period. Yeah, but whatever it is, don't feel like you're stuck. Because you're not stuck, you know? And I think that's something that we've had to learn within our experience, and we're still learning through our journey, right?
Yeah, most definitely.
All right, well, this wraps up the episode, another episode of the Broke Black Bougie podcast. I want to thank you all for tapping in and tuning in to these recordings. Let us know what you think. Send an email to info@brokeblackbougie.com. Make sure to like Broke Black Bougie on Facebook and follow Broke Black Bougie at instagram.com/brokeblackbougie. And if you're feeling really friendly, to follow www.brokeblackbougie.com online, be sure to subscribe to our newsletter. We do not spam you. We just give you some tips and some little pointers and some little stories that you may not be able to find elsewhere. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon. Bye.